spring took a break and February added one more day in our town, but I'll take it. What about you guys? Right? It's usually sunny and 75. I will definitely take all the rain we can get, and what a nice change. And putting it on a Sunday, bingo, right? Day of rest, I'll take it. Welcome to all of you parents that survived the night. Prom is officially in the books. Looked like a good one out there. And I'm tired just watching all that pomp and more pomp and circumstance going on out there. It was beautiful, wasn't it? Anybody make it out yesterday? See all the good looking, and then we've got everybody else in the casino dressing up from the 19-somethings. Pretty neat, isn't it? Only in Avalon. It's really neat. If you're part of that crew, welcome this morning to our church and to the 10:30 service. My name's Andrew. I literally love this topic more than you know. I lost my entire sermon notes yesterday, 1 hour before the prom walk started. It's one of those things where you're using stuff that's digital and you take those chances, you know what I'm saying? And I put two fingers on my Google Docs, just two fingers is all I did, and whammo, disappearo, and el panico, all right? I was freaking out. I have the sermon notes that you have. I saved those, that outline, but there's a lot more. And so late night, my wife saw me literally in the bathroom with a shower light on. I'm just feverishly trying to think through some things. And then I just prayed and said, I'm going to bed. Right? And then the rain settled in and all of that. This is a hot topic with all of us this morning. If you have sermon notes, grab them. I want to say thank you to Caitlin and Constance working our door this morning. I love it. We have room for more. You guys want to help us with our greeting team and hospitality? It's awesome. The band this morning. God's adding to the band. And slowly but surely, you're seeing God working in people's sheep and their giftedness. And they're volunteering their time. And I love it. I was blessed by that. Can we give our worship team just one more thank you? Actually, God for that? Yeah. God's the one who gets it all. They tell you that. And they showed up early this week, and they practice a sound team back there, working hard. We even have a puppy this morning, just to keep them light and lively. Gina's got a new member of the family. It's a fun team. It's a fun family serving together. So, Gina, don't panic, even though I lost all my notes. The photos did not change this morning, so it's just one of those things. I was sharing this week with a friend on anxiety. In fact, three people, different times, and they brought it up, okay? But the reason we hear about it a lot, especially on our team here, is because we're dealing with a lot of young folks that serve in the church. And it's a little different here in this environment than it is on the mainland. Would you agree? Just nod your head. Yeah, it's a little different here. And at least towards anxiety goes. There's a lot of pressure here. And as the under-shepherd of the nerves of those folks that kind of serve on this team, and I've worked with them, I just wanted to share some very practical principles this morning. Just one was in prayer. We'll be done in 5 minutes. Does that sound good? All right. Triennial meeting. We'll get an early. Sounds good. Yeah, right? If you're listening online, welcome. And anxiety is always going to be one of those top subjects to talk on. I want to do it today from Psalm 139. This is a kick butt verse, okay? If you've got an app on your phone, and I trust that's all you're using this morning, you want to look it up. I don't care what version you use. There's some good ones out there that'll just give you these couple of verses, and they're loaded. Who wrote Psalms? Oh, great. David? The answer is David, right? David wrote it. And as far as I'm concerned, the greatest rapper of MC of all time, okay? This guy knew how to write music. And as far as I'm concerned, the lyrics of his verses cannot be matched. And I love Lecrae, and I love every rap artist you can put out there that's doing it for God right now. But David has it on all of them, okay? And they all get that and borrow their talent on loan from God. David knew how to write music. Amen? And he was cranking it out. And I would say that David's words, especially in this Psalm 139, seriously divinely inspired us to search within ourselves. I learned this verse when I was a punk. I still am a punk. When I was younger, I remember somebody just teaching this at whatever church thing I was going to, maybe a summer VBS deal or whatever, and a guy gave me a Snickers bar for saying it really fast, he didn't understand back then, neither did I, besides a Snickers bar, that 30 years later, this verse would be just piling on all sorts of good stuff in the midst of hard stuff in my life. I needed that, not the Snickers bar. I needed the truth of Psalm 139. Thank goodness somebody compelled me to learn that verse. It's wonderfully celebrated. It gives us a picture of both God's all-seeing eye. Okay? And if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, it's not that eye. It's meaning that He's watching over our lives in every situation, every season, intimacy. Yesterday I took a group of guys out in an outrigger, and I'm scaring down by Seal Rock to X Marks the Spot, if you know that place at the end of the island where the seals are going nuts. The surge was kick butt. It was huge. It was huge. It was double overhead for my surfers in the room, and it was big and it was gnarly. And the wind, which had been non-existent, you notice that? They predicted all this stuff, and it was dead in the harbor. Well, it was all down there, okay? That's where we were. And we're in this 16-foot deal with these guys just in perfect sync. It was a great morning. One OC1 went out with us, and all of a sudden that wind came around the horn there, and I couldn't get that outrigger to turn. I did everything, man. I'm stoking on the left side, and I'm pulling back, and these guys are all like, they're all forcing something to help me get that thing to turn. It's the widest turn I've ever made. It's like an aircraft carrier. It just took forever. And once I turned it, man, we were flying. You just give us, you know, one stroke for every four that it normally would take you, just flying on the wind. And I want to tell you right now, in the best ways I can describe it, hang in there through this song, because it will take its turn, okay? There is something going to happen here when you read this from King Dave, and he's got something. Hang in there. Once we make the turn, you're flying high, all right? But you'll pick this up in verse 17 today. So if you're looking at it, verse 17 through 23, I'm not reading the entire thing. I have a little time this morning. David says this, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God." Wouldn't that be great? Here we go. Hang on. You got the e-ticket. God, how vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Oh, away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you, God, with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate the Lord and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. That is so me every day. Oh, man. Kill them all, God. Kill them all. Search me, God. Know my heart. Try me in all my ways. Oh, my goodness. This aircraft carrier is just... Dave is ticked, all right? And he is going at it. Here comes the shift, because David's focusing on all these external factors. All this stuff. And all of a sudden, he makes his move. And then we can see him going over and over again in his head. This is so me, especially with news or anything in the news right now. Okay? Dealing from this. From his, you might want to write this down somewhere, from his enemies, okay, the haters, to his inner me. You tracking with me? Okay? Oh, I hate those that hate you. Search me, God. I don't think he hates what we're talking about here this morning, David, but he came to life inside, okay? From his enemies to his inner me. Something shifted there. And as much as that sounds like a little preacher thing, come on, I see what you did there, preacher. No. It's really the most important life skill, because David's about to take responsibility for his own anxiety. He's not going to put it on the economy. He's not going to put it on our presidency. He's not going to put it on King Saul, who's trying to kill him, by the way. He's not going to put it on teenagers. All right? And if you don't have kids, you know what I'm saying. At this point, David did not. And he did not have kids. He did have kids in the future. We'll talk about that a little bit later. He's not putting on anybody anybody at all. He's just upset, verse 23. Okay? He says, search me. Search me. Okay? Those two words. Babylonians, this will set you free from 90% of the drama going on in your workplace. I don't care if it's the island company, the conservancy, the city, or any other resort deal going on around here. There's drama. Y'all are going. There's drama, okay? There's drama tomorrow morning. There's drama when you leave here waiting for you. It'll set you free of 90% of that stuff. Because some of you borrow drama just trying to take a look at somebody else's life. Are you listening to me? We're looking at somebody else's life, and there's this transferal deal that goes on. All of a sudden, we're in it. Like, how the heck did I get in all this, you know? Just by watching, you know? Search me. Know my heart. You notice the shift? Kill him, God! And if he's just fussing and cussing, and the way things are, these bloodthirsty men, they're selfish, they hate you, there's corruption, this systematic corruption, do something about it. Then he shifts. Search me. Search me this morning. Look at your notes this morning. If you don't have something to write with, borrow something from somebody, okay? Here we go. Nothing changes until I do. Write it in. Y'all awake this morning? I'm throwing. I hope y'all are awake this morning. I mean, it's post-prom, and I've had to figure it out. Let's get going this morning. Nothing changes until I do. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. That's where I just want to spend some time today. And I've been asking myself this question lately. Here it is. I asked it last week. Okay. Why am I anxious? I got a kid that walked down that up here yesterday. And that was the last of my four kids. We're finished, so to speak. Let's get reassigned is all we are. But there were some thoughts there, and there was some anxiousness. How's this one's life going to turn? Then I shot to my oldest one. We're about to have a baby in the family. I'm a grandfather as of June 7th. This is weird. Anxiousness. We have so much. Then I went to my daughter Maddie, oh my gosh, anxiousness all over the place. And it was a prom walk. Can I just take pictures and smile and, you know, right? You know what I'm saying, parents, grandparents. You know what I'm saying. It just was there. And apparently, according to my non-scientific YouTube study of all of you, you are all anxious, okay? Someone asked the question that says, have you experienced anxiety in the last week? What kind of question is that? The last 5 minutes. You know why? Because we live in the age of anxiety. When I wrote this in last night, it was very dark. I was thinking of a lot of other things, the spirit of the age, the age of entitlement, where, you know, I've got this coming to me. But no, it's anxiousness. And let's be honest about it. It's almost marketed by the stations that are supposed to be giving us information. I don't care if it's CNN, Fox, who knows who, Apple News, this news, that news. They actually engage artists using fear tactics. Breaking news! So that they can sell advertising. Often promoting the same drug and pharmaceutical companies that are owned by the same conglomerate that push out the information that is designed to make us anxious. And let's be careful, because now we sound like David. Verse 22, kill him, God! Right? But all you need to do is focus on about 10 minutes of each network and you're good. Okay? You stick around longer than that and all of a sudden you're going to start feeling. My dad's 90 years old. I call him and he's like, believe what's going on in the White House right now, and I'm like, Dad, turn the news off. I just want to say how you feel. Right? It's worked. It's getting worked. David came to a place where he said, you know, it's not what's happening out there that makes me anxious. It's what I allow in here. Search me. It started with kill them all. Right? Kill them. I'm right there with you, God. These things that go undetected, these things that go unchecked. It's my thought process. It uses an actual Hebrew word that means disquieting thoughts. It's translated as close as I can be in English. Anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts. So David's saying now. It's not what's happening that's causing the anxiety. It's not what's happening. Because literally, there's a lot happening in Kazakhstan right now. Okay? But is that affecting the course of my life right now? The answer is... Oh, thank you, three people. Okay? The answer is no. Ultimately, it may affect some in the military. But my point is this, that what's actually happening to me today is a choice. What am I thinking about it? What am I placing my anxiety on? That's what's causing it. Look at verse 24, okay? Now, I know that David didn't know anything about neural pathways, so to speak, but it sounds like he did, possibly here, because he says, I want you to look inside, God, see if there be any offensive way in me. I don't care what it is. Now we know that if we think something long enough, what does it do? It creates a 4 p.m. 405 freeway moment in your brain, okay? 4710, or you name your freeway. You guys know what it's like after 2:30 p.m. on Friday at 405, right? That's your brain on anxiety and stuff. It sucks. You're going nowhere. If anything, you're going backwards. There's a process by which I get stuck in a rut. There is a process. And David's saying, see if I've been thinking in a way that's allowed my enemy to traffic my mind. Where I've just been screwing around. That's what I want to do today. I want to go there. I want you to take a look at this little six-point deal test to answer the question. Here it is. Why am I anxious? Hopefully, you'll get past this point. And answering that question with somebody else's name. Somebody else's name. And hopefully, past that point of answering that question by mentioning someone. It's happening. You know, these things are outside of control. Hopefully, we'll get a place where we realize that not only is God watching over our life, David understood it, but when Saul is trying to kill me, my haters, even in Avalon, are after me, God is watching over me. Can I get an amen? God has a surveillance system set up, my friends. It's set up in every situation of your life. I don't care if you live in a cove. I don't care if you're in Toyon, Cherry, July 4th, 4th of whatever. It doesn't matter to me what cove you're in. Surveillance is set up. He can see the coves. He can see your cabin. He can see your bungalow. He can see your Triana. How do parents like it when somebody else talks about one of your kids? Huh? Look at somebody else right now and say, you better talk nice to me. Look at somebody. Better talk nice. God's for me. He's watching over me. God's looking at me. He's watching how you talk to me. And God likes me. Say that to somebody sitting next to you. Amen? You know, you don't like it when somebody talks bad about your kids. It's like, bring it on. God feels the same way about you times 1,000. And He's watching out for you. So why am I anxious if my Father knows my needs? Why am I anxious if He's numbered the hairs on my head? Why am I anxious if He's promised to supply all my need? How about some rain? We only prayed like 10 years for it, and it hasn't stopped for 4 or 5 months. God knows. And I've got to be honest about it. I've got to be honest about it. David was. I'm not necessarily referring to this in the medical sense, okay? Don't take this to mean that I'm saying, you know, your sin or your behavioral choices are always responsible for anxiety. But what I want to show you today is, regardless of where it's coming from, okay, and I'm not a doctor for anxiety, but I want to show you today that maybe there are some ways in me that are making me vulnerable to it and to the things that are allowing me to remain anxious. We go to the Word of God. It says not to be anxious. That is the root. And I don't think that it means that we never feel anxiety. I don't think that it means that. Okay? I'm not so heavily minded I'm nowhere to go. I'm saying that it means we don't stay anxious. Right? I mean, there's stuff that comes down the pipe. It's like, oh, yeah, gee. We don't stay anxious. There's a way to not stay vulnerable. Right? Now, there is tough news at the doctor's office. Hard news in your family. You live out here on an island. You're not going to get there. How's this going to work out? I'm realistic. You're saying you don't stay anxious. Do something. A lot of people who sing the national anthem on TV, they're seeing what they're singing. ever watched their hands and watched the mic sometime? Right? Just a couple of years ago, I remember watching in the Super Bowl. He's, yeah, national television. Everybody gets anxious. Probably some of you are thinking, it may not last long. It ends up taking out years of your life. And life from your years, right? I mean, look around every corner for what's going to happen next. You know? Yeah, we had the best boat ride the other day. It was epic. I was talking to a great friend. And he was asking me, going, what's a good psalm to read? And I'm like, 139, bro. Check it out. And it's not just a psalm. It's like a little seminar. You know? It's like a psalminar. There you go. It's a psalminar. Like that? It feels like that. And we had a great conversation. Within a few minutes, all that anxiety of fuel prices going up on the mainland and parking or all this stuff. I'm like, dude. Number one, when I'm anxious, ask somebody next to you, why am I anxious? Ask somebody and say, why are you anxious? Why are you anxious? Okay? First thing to check, here it is your intake. Write it in. Write it in. It's your intake. Are you anxious? Check your intake. Because when I'm anxious, how full am I of what? How full am I of what? Anxiety and cellulite have one thing in common. You cannot pray either one of them away. Okay? They all have to do with intake. Bottom line. You know what? I'm going there this morning. All right? Hey. Is this an iPhone 7? 8? 8? Is this an 8? Okay. We have iPhones. There's this killer little thing. I was just shown this recently on my iPhone 8. It's really good. If you hold this button down right here, it's phenomenal. You'll see this little thing appear on the top. You just like that. Whoa! Y'all with me? You don't want to be taught anything this morning. Look at you guys. You know what I'm saying? You can't handle all of this. And that's the deal. You'd be shocked. You put this thing in your pocket, and this thing's just sitting right here, and you're just getting shocked like a little sniper on your butt bump. You got to know everything going on in the world. Oh, where do they go on vacation? Where are they eating lunch today? What's going on with this? And just back and forth. You know why? Because literally the enemy has a shock collar on your rear end, and you can't handle it. Your body and your mind were not created by the God of the universe to know everything happening in the universe. You don't have the capacity, and yet it's sitting right here, and we got to know everything. You got to work on the feed. You got to match their feed. It's crazy, and you're not designed to have all that. What'd they say? Where are they going? Of course we're freaking out. Of course we're zombies. Of course we're numbing ourselves and popping and smoking and drinking everything that we can. You know why? The devil has this lockup in us, and we don't even know it. It is literally encompassing every inch of our lives, and we're constantly not monitoring family. I'm just texting our family. No, man, it's going nuts. You guys are messing up this stuff simply because we've created a whole other culture going on. Would Jesus have a smartphone? Would Jesus have a smartphone? I'd say yes, perhaps. But more importantly, he would not be ruled by it. He would rule over it. So figure it out. You know how many apps are on my phone? They're just empty calories. Just empty calories. I mean, seriously. What are they doing? And you want me to give you an inspirational 45-minute talk every week, and you're going to lay that over 17 to 24 hours of media and everything else that's in there? And you're not designed for hardwire like that. That's not your design. And, you know, we hope for things. What hope do we have, literally, to have peace when we have no place for it? I want peace. Turn it off. Turn on some God. Take a walk. Go out and out. Go over town, walk on a beach somewhere new. Find God. One time for God. Just go right up here in the hills. Take a horse trail hike. empty out, turn off those things. Empty out time with God. If you live and work in a cove, live and work in a cove. Who gets to do that? Milk that thing for all it's worth. You're in a cove. How special that is. 10 years ago, you were dreaming that you could do something like that, right? And you're doing it. Catalinans, don't get caught up in just how. There is so much to this island. Get out there. You ever seen Starlight Beach? Huh? You ever seen it? You ever been to Parsons? Everybody knows Mr. Parsons. Have you ever been to Parsons Landing? Seen the Eagle's Nest floating around? How about Thompson's Reservoir that's just bubbling over right now? Get out there. Find a way. You know, I worked at a camp when I was a punk. And I had to teach wrestling and archery. I was 17 years old, and I got my first job working with kids. And I said, man, this is going to be fun, kickball and all this stuff. All day. They said, no, you're going to teach Greco-Roman freestyle wrestling. I'm like, oh, sure. Okay, went to the library just to learn how to spell it. Figure out, you know, archery so we don't aim at the targets with traffic behind going by. You know, I had to figure out all this stuff. I remember this one song. I had another leader that I worked with who was he'd been leading for a long time, and he started our morning out with music, and he played this little song, Input, Output. What goes in is what comes out. Garbage in is garbage out. You ever heard that before? And your mind is a computer's whose data you must choose. And that's a kid's song. Started our morning out all the time. And I actually dug it. I love that. And I was just thinking about it. It worked great for, you know, don't listen to rock and roll music and go to bad movies. And there's some good to that, too. I think you got to be in tune with your conscience in terms of it creating a sense of darkness there in your life. It can do it. But this is different, okay? God says this. I want to know you. David says this. Search me, okay? If my input, output, garbage in did happen, search me. Know me. I think it's very good. But I think also that what we don't take in is just as fatal to our faith as what we do take in. Right? I think some of us are on a spiritual starvation diet. We don't even know it. So we have faith that we don't feed, and we cannot access strength that we actually possess if we feed it. Amen? Is anybody awake this morning? You want this, but you can't get there because of this going on. You've got to get your intake levels up, right? It took a lot for some of y'all to come to church this morning. I appreciate you coming here. That's a serious sacrifice. Saturday night was hard for whatever reason, but you made it. When I first tried to get myself to work out, I used to run a lot in my other job. I had a beautiful place out back to run. The first thing I want to do always as you're getting older is to do what? To lose weight, right? And I saw a poster. It was in our weight room. It said, you cannot out-train a bad diet. And I was like, that's great. You know, I never wanted to see that poster. I wanted to actually start keeping a food log and writing that down. I never told my wife about it. Are you kidding me? I'd be doomed, okay? Now, I didn't do it. I didn't, but it was a good idea. Before I can change what I take in, I need to know or track what I take in, all right? Stay with me this morning. I wonder what it would look like if I kept a thought log of just what I let in or what the enemy was talking to me about and I let in from my enemy and then pray for God to drive them out, right? I wonder if I just kept that information. Here's what I let in. What would be there? Search me, God. Have you let God show you? Have you taken time to let him show you? You have to let his eyes see what it is that you're taking in. And I even mean this in terms of relationships. I'm going to say this probably just one time. A sensitive topic here. Some people you hang around are draining your faith. Right? You know the ones. I don't got to mention names. I got my group. And you have to be around them a little bit. And you might just need to put on a little SPF 75. Okay? You need to be careful. You know the people I'm hanging out with, right? You're nodding your heads with me? Sometimes it feels like a wet blanket when you get within 10 feet of them. There's a transferal going on. You're like, all their business is going to be your business. I'd put on that thick stuff, okay? SPF, spiritual protection, something. We have empty calories on our phone. We spend time wasting our time. And, you know, I don't care if you've mastered Candy Crush or whatever it is over and over. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying there's just stuff that's zapping life from our ears. There's no real purpose to it. And then there's others who have a purpose, and we're not protected, and we let them on. Y'all track it with me? Okay, that's the deal. This is good, isn't it? Okay, this is good teaching. Write this stuff down. Check your intake. And once that's balanced at this point, third thing I want you to write down is imbalance. I'm just taking it from Dave, okay? Check for imbalance. And I don't mean chemical imbalance. That's beyond what I'm talking about this morning. But I do mean when you don't have a sense of what's important in your life, when you don't have a sense of priority in your life and everything feels urgent, right? A good buddy of mine, 18 years ago now, handed me a little thin, bathroom reading book. It was quick. Get through this. Called The Tyranny of the Urgent versus the Important. The Tyranny of the Urgent versus the Important. One of the coolest reads. One of the most significant life game changer. Okay? It's a sign, though. Things that are urgent that we haven't figured out. What's really important? Now, you're open to everybody's demand, and they take up people's space. Listen to me. We say yes to the things that don't really matter, and by doing that, we're saying an automatic no to the things that do. Right? Right? That is a question. Okay, good. By saying yes to people who are essentially using you in order to achieve their own goals, you could name them. I got five on my hand right here, okay? Now you find yourself unable to give because you're a limited resource to the people that God has entrusted for you to care the most. So you're over here with this crowd, and you're just putting all this effort into it. God has a whole other group for you to work with over here, and they're just using you. You're a means to an end. So I have to have this sense of balance. And I could preach about balance real easy. You got to work out, you got to pray, you got to eat right, and all of this. But that's not this kind of sermon. What I mean is you've got to give balance to what you give weight to. Sometimes we're stressed out because we're giving too much weight to the wrong words, okay? Instead of the right words, right? We got all these words over here. This is how I think you should do. This is how I think our church budget should be spent. And our vision planning for buying more property. And we need more housing over here for this company and whatnot. And yet, God's word is waiting right here. The visions and plans of men are many. God's purposes prevail. Proverbs. God's word is going to lead us in the right direction for how our budget needs to go. And whether we need more property, whether we need more housing, whether we need more surplus, how our revenue intake looks like or how it's not. Taxes in California, are we going to survive? It's all there. And I love it. How about when things we haven't learned to weigh out yet and they just keep playing on us over and over again? I'm going to hit this one home because this one hits me almost every day. How about when somebody doesn't like you? Right? My wife knows I struggle with this at times because I'm trying really hard to do something. But sometimes it doesn't matter. It depends on who they are, right? You know, there was someone that, I don't know if I should show this, but there was somebody who just visited our church recently, and they came away from it and said, you know what? They had hated it. They said, there's nothing good about that church. And they visited and they said, it's not that bad, okay? I sat there and I said, and they told me, their friend told me, they actually came to church, said it's not, I said, I don't really care. I don't really care. I knew this church was not that bad. Okay, it's freaking awesome. I love this church. God's glory is in this church. I don't need someone to tell me whether it was not that bad and give me that award. I don't. God's already told me it's not that bad. This is a great church. I welcome them to come back, but I don't worry about the place that they put me in or whether or not this church is okay or not. You'll see it all over social media. Well, I went there and I wasn't greeted right, or I felt judged, or the coffee was cold. Get over it. It was not that bad before you decided that. And I was talking to a close friend of mine, and his name is Bill. He's an incredible guy. And I brought out my empty pad and pen, and I sat there and I said, I got to talk to you, Bill. I've got some serious issues. I'm asking for your advice, and I'm going to list all these things that are bugging me, that are happening in the church. I'm feeling this right now. We're starting a 10:30 service, and I'm not sure. You got all these people. They're upset about me moving this giant Bible out of the lobby, and there's other things happening, and they're just mad at me for whatever. And I said, Bill, tell me what I should do about this. And he goes, all right, here we go. And this is what he said. He goes, Andrew, it doesn't matter. So I got my pen and I wrote down point one. It doesn't matter. Okay? And I was waiting. That's all he said. That's all I got from him. It doesn't matter. That's all he said to me at all. Look at your neighbor right now and look at him and say, it doesn't matter. Use their name, Andrew. Come from the diaphragm. Andrew, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right? You got to tell them. You got to remind yourself. It doesn't matter. Now, what you just said is true of 99.999973%. of everything that's going on, okay? 99, I'm just letting you know. The majority of what you're freaking out about doesn't matter. The other night I woke up, and it's hard to talk about, because if I wake up, she wakes up. And I heard the Spirit saying to me, son, you are staying awake, worrying about something that I've already worked out. Go to bed. You can rest, Hobbs, because I'm awake. You can sleep because I'm on it. And I went to sleep. But I was a wreck. And when you give weight to the promises from God, when you give weight to the right things, when I give weight and I have a clear sense of priority in my life, then I'm okay if people are angry, okay? If I say no. If I say no to something, I'm okay if people get angry. Because my no is a yes to something that I already decided was more important than what any given demand might require of me at any moment. Amen? This is the thing that I'm coming to realize, that is with Christ as a solid rock. If you don't know how to stand on that rock with right balance, then we're up here singing, and Ecclesia is all about just the singing and just the words going on. You've got to understand that Christ is the solid rock. We are called to stand on it with balance. It is solid for a reason. Otherwise, you can go down there right now and get hit with any shore break you want of serious surge coming in, and you're going right out with it. Something solid is worth standing on, but with balance. And the devil's going to push you around, and you will always feel unsettled. You will always feel tossed, always feel turned. But when you make your mind up about what matters and what doesn't matter, let me help you out a little bit, okay? What doesn't matter? What they say. What does matter? What God knows. And what He knows. Search me, O God. Know my heart. It doesn't matter. Everything I've been talking about, Bill was so right. What I was talking about didn't matter. If I were to write a book right now, I would title it, It Doesn't Matter. Okay? Subtitle, Really. Okay? Underneath that, At All, Chapter 1. Bottom line, somebody getting their balance this morning. Is anybody getting their balance this morning? Are you feeling it? David is coming on, not me. this matters right here, that I keep my faith and I keep my grateful attitude, that I do not let my situation contaminate my spirit. This matters, not that. Because if you don't start out this way, it is constant imprisonment to your own indecision. And this is the next one. It's number three. We got to move. Indecision is a prison. Y'all listen to me. Indecision is a prison. So I want to make this very clear. I want this congregation, those of you listening to me, whether I know you or not, I want you to make three decisions this week by Wednesday. Okay? You can make a lot more than that. But three big decisions before Wednesday that you've been sitting on procrastinating. All right? You know that you can make this decision. You know you've got to make the decision. And you also know the deadline, right? And you're just waiting for that to come and go. I want you to make three this week and set aside the time to make somewhere at least that many. 3 to 6, somewhere near. Okay? Big ones. Sit down, have your 4 cups of coffee, get yourself grooving. I don't know what the process is, just make these decisions. And if you make dumb ones, apologize, okay? But make the decision. You know? Right? 15 minutes to decide chicken or shrimp at a restaurant? Come on. Right? Really? I'm serious. You've been dating her 7.5 years and you're not sure if she's the one? Make a decision. If she's not, get out of the way. Do it or don't. Buy the house. Sell the house. Sign the lease or don't. Stay on Catalina. Move off Catalina. You can always come back if you made a dumb decision, right? Make the decision. Because if not, now you're making yourself up to what is called options. Right? Opportunities for anxiety, my friends. We call it options. Some of you guys ought to be thankful you don't have a choice on where you send your kids to school. Like Avalon School or homeschool. Okay? Go over to the mainland right now. You got 10 on every corner. You got 1,000 choices to make. It's made for you here. I moved here almost a decade ago, and I've never seen anything like it. It's even the Shell station, whatever it is right there by Long Beach, right by the pipe, right? I just want gas. I don't want a Slurpee. I don't want a back massage. I don't want my car getting washed. There's choices all over the place. I just want gas, you know? And the world is throwing this at us. There's a lot, and it's getting bigger and getting greater. People are franchising now. Just give me some gas, okay? And I was looking at this through the Holy Spirit's eyes, and it hit me saying, you know what, Hobbs, you're very indecisive right now. Everybody asks you questions. Even after the service, they have things to say. And you're like, oh, get back with you. Let me pray about that. And, you know, talk. And I'm not doing any of that. I'm just blowing it off. I'm just putting it off because they're big decisions. And someone's asking for prayer right there. We're all this way. And I just remember recently, I stayed in the situation of somebody that I was talking to. And that afternoon by 3 o'clock, we had done some serious God stuff. And on my own, I remember praying for them. And I let go of this. And it left my shoulders like a ton of bricks. And I felt like a good day at the spa. I've never been to the spa. You know what I'm saying, people, right? I let it go. Why? Because I made a decision. I handed it to the Lord and I prayed for it the right way. And it was done. I can move on. Now this only works if you're living a life with integrity. Write that in. Anxiety is a result of my compromise in integrity. It's kind of hard to have peace when you're hiding secrets and living like a hypocrite. It's kind of hard to have a peaceful heart when you hope your wife doesn't check your phone to see your text messages. It's kind of hard to have a peaceful heart when you have 3 Snapchats and the one your parents think is your only Snapchat is just a decoy. And now you're asking God to give you peace, but your life is in so many different pieces. The word integrity means whole. Like in math class, they taught us integers and whole numbers. It is something complete. Whole. Integrity, everything all in one person at the time. instead of when there's three different me's going on. You know the word I'm talking about, right? Poser, posing, right? Three different me's. I seem to hand one out for each situation that's going on. It's kind of hard to pray the panic away when my own lifestyle is creating the panic. Looking over my shoulder, having to look over my shoulder, trying to figure out which mask to wear at church so that no one will see my situation at home. When there's work me, after work me, Friday night me, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning me, right? It's kind of hard for me to have peace when my foundation's cracked. It's kind of hard for me to manage all those different me's because I might send out the wrong one at the wrong time. You ever done that? Oops, I meant to send preacher me out there right now. It's kind of hard for me to ask God to bless my life that is letting in so many different directions. Now, I don't mean you have to interact with everybody at the same level. For instance, if we went down to Coney's and I used this tone of voice, everyone would say that is the most obnoxious creature walking the planet right now. Okay? No, I would modulate and look at my environment. But I am saying this, although you might be different in your approach to different situations, the essential nature of who you are never changes in every encounter, all right? Your integrity doesn't change. That person's the real deal. No matter what's going on, that person lives what they are. That's the real deal. The essential nature. So it shouldn't be like that for my family to watch me preaching. Then I come off and it's Sunday and they're like, who is that? Woo! Poser, right? Or you're in Vons. And everyone's like, you go to church? Woo! Whoa! Right? Or they're seeing that behavior on the softball field Thursday nights and then you come on down here. People are watching the way you live and it's costing you your peace. So I'm not condemning you, okay? But you might be anxious sometimes because you're trying to manage so many different versions of you, right? And then just bring it all together for God, be yourself. Bring it all together and be honest before God. Like David, search me, know my heart. It's the way I'm doing it. As long as I want to be changed, I'm already accepted. Catch this. Here it is this morning. As long as I want to be changed, I'm already accepted for what Jesus did for me. Amen? Everybody, amen? Jesus did something for us. I don't got to live any other way than in Him. And that's the thing, is because He's done this for me. Now, God, help me to align my life with what You made me to be, with who You made me to be, so I can be the real me. I want to be the real me, the highest version of me, the called me, the chosen me, the secure me, the stable me, that God loves me. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. I don't have to be anyone else's. I'm God's. And your cortisone levels are dropping right now just because you're being the real you. This is feeling good. Because all the other layers of stuff, all that anger, kill them, God, kill them all. Whoa, search me, God. Know my heart here. And that stuff wasn't in Christ. Let it go. Let it go. That was David getting to the bottom of this stuff. You noticed anything on your outline? All my points are starting with what letter? I, if you're doing it correctly. Yes, that's right. Starting with I. I figure that's a common denominator of our anxiety. Search me, God. Know me, God. If your eyes can see God's eyes, beneath what the surface of the situation really is. I'm anxious because of my money. I'm anxious because of my health. I'm anxious because of my mom. No. Those things are going to trigger something. The truth of God's word can enable it to transcend. I'm talking about your mind. Okay? This is what the New Testament teaches, that the peace of God transcends all understanding and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. No matter what triggers you in the situation, David says, search me, know me. Sometimes I have to fix my attention on something different. Sometimes I can reduce my anxiety just by shifting my attention, just by going to, you know, quote, how people are thinking about me and realizing they're not. My wife does that all the time to me. Some funky insecurity comes in there. What is that from? They're not thinking of you. Right? Maybe I was thinking about others. Some say, now, why didn't she speak to me in church this morning? Why didn't you speak to her? Why did they look at me in Vons and then look at the magazine real quick? Why didn't you look at them and smile at them before they looked at the magazine rack? Right? It's always on us. You're on the boat and you're one row up from somebody you just hung out with 2 days ago. Why aren't you going to them in their seat to say hi to them, right? Just saying. Just saying. I'll tell you what will go when you step out of the center of you. The burden of the weight of how you're coming across. The burden of the weight of how you're being perceived. The burden of the weight of what other people are and are not giving you. You've got to get out of the middle. Amen? See things from God's point of view. That's it. Search me, God. Am I anxious? Because it's just the rhythms of life. Guess what? You'll get through them. Am I creating more waves than necessary? By the way, the outrigger eventually did turn. I don't care if I had to go a half a mile out in the ocean. The darn thing turned. We turned. Otherwise, I'd be in Cabo right now. It made it around. I found that a lot of this stuff is not even real in my mind. You ever notice that? Listen to me carefully. I found a lot of it is in the sacred space in my head that God has given us by which He shows us who He is, and that is an imagination. Right in. I want to reclaim my imagination. You want to reclaim your imagination. I want you to take back the most valuable asset. I want you to take back that place that used to be playful. Men, if we were in Wild Men right now, we'd be thrown. This is so serious. All that stress and all that panic in you is just to make up, you know, for all the stuff that you're missing. Remember when you were a little kid and you used to dream? Every stick was a sword, right? You found yourself in a battle, and you're not there yet because you've come so far into all the things that you've dealt with in your relationships and the financial world. Man, I want to get back to that childlike faith where I can just play around mentally. It's your imagination. The enemy's got it. You know, the devil wants to turn that into a place that's his versus God's playground. It becomes the devil's playground. Instead of a battleground, you can't even experience God. The enemy comes after your destiny. His first step is to get a stronghold in your imagination. The enemy wants to make it where he can't stand you to talk to him that way. What he'll do, he'll make you feel alone. You've got an internal ISIS that's setting up every terrorist cell you can imagine inside your life, and you go to think, worry kicks in so much about what might happen. You come to church, you can't even worship God. You can't even let the words on the screen. Maybe you don't know the song. That first song was brand new to you guys. Maybe the words on the screen needed to get through. You can still worship even though you may not know the tune, the song. Let the words in it, but you can't because they're locked up. You want to feel free again? Is there anybody here that's free? Yeah, free people. Great. You want to dream about something again? Maybe you're asking God for something really big right now. You need to dream. Or you can think crazy thoughts. Just write stuff down. Start singing off tune and making up words to it. You know you used to do that when you were a kid? You used to sing stuff that didn't even have a... There was no song. You just made it up. do that again? I do. Your imagination has been in a battleground. You used to do that. You used to walk around. Used to be so fun. And panic. Panic. I told the... I started doing that there. I told the devil, literally, get your hands off God's property. My imagination is God's house. My imagination was purchased with the blood of Christ. You can't set up camp here. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. And he was gone, my friends. Gone. Why? Because Andrew did something about... No. Jesus' name was used. And in the name of Jesus, get out of here. He can't handle it. None of his demons can handle it. Use the name of Jesus. You have no room in my imagination for the future of my life. Get out of here. You have no business here. It's powerful. It's good teaching. And the good news is, if you're really good at worrying, you're going to be really good at worshiping. Amen? Oh, man. Because it's all in the imagination. It serves in the opposite, doesn't it? Okay? Serving the opposite purpose. So y'all help me and work on these things. I'm closing right here. And God said we need to reverse the cycle the way you're thinking about things. We need to reverse the cycle so when you wake up in the morning, stop checking the fear cast. Okay? The fear cast. Think about every possible meeting that you've got that day could go wrong. You don't have anything clean to wear. Oh. I'll tell you what. I promise that nobody's keeping a spreadsheet sheet of the shoes that you wear to work. You wore Tuesday, or that you actually wore on Thursday. Whoa. Don't worry. And expect to see the goodness of the Lord. And you're not panicking. You know? Is there any faith casters in the house? Right? Instead of a fear caster, you get up in the morning, your faith kicks in. Let that be what leads you. David said, if I take the wings of morning or dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there, God, your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold me fast. Amen? Because God's watching over me. He's looking into me. I didn't check the fear cast. I checked the faith cast. And I know it's corny, but I'll bet you try this, you'll drive back depression. If you check the faith cast, you can't stay anxious. Okay? How many did I give you? Total. Five? Six? All right, we're not sticking on six. We're doing seven. Here we go. Isolation. Why am I anxious? I've isolated myself. Right in the middle of that word is the letter I. The enemy wants to fight you in isolation. I was just looking at this 2 days ago. Why was I thinking, why do I need to get discouraged? Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He? When His eye is watching over the sparrow. Hymn people? Yeah, man. The Gaithers have written some really beautiful songs, too, that come off of those hymns. And have spun off some of these songs. Man, they were placed in my heart as a little kid. I'm so thankful for that. I let that good stuff in. I didn't even know about that back then. I would need all those songs today. Why should my heart feel lonely? He's after me. David wrote a beautiful song here. And a lot of people think when he wrote it, and we can't pinpoint this, but it was at the occasion of his coronation, literally, as both the southern and northern kingdom. It's not proven, but it doesn't really matter when he wrote it. You know why? Because God was watching over every stage of his process. So whenever it was, it was. But God was watching over him. And David says, I want you to show me the real me that's making me anxious. And I choose to have peace. I'm very into that word. Even though it has an I in the middle, it has a us. Anxious. Isn't that cool? I was thinking about church. You're sitting here in these pews this morning, we're about to head out. You're not the only one going through stuff. chances of curing you, the cancer by which you see today. Release running out. I'm going to move from this town, so hard to find housing. Somebody else in this room is dealing with the same issue. Sickness, illness in the family, it's all here. I'm not alone. We need a small group. We need some folks that you don't just come in and pour out your stuff to, but you can listen to it. Sometimes God will use somebody else to speak what He wants you to know into your life. God is speaking through someone else in your life. So why Lone Ranger it, man? Why isolate it, right? Let's not forsake me. God bless your kingdom. Great singing today. It's not just you. What you've heard. Act on what you've heard. Ask God what David did. In fact, can we do that for a moment? And even lift our hands if you feel comfortable doing that. Just close your eyes. I only ask you that just to block out stuff. You know, we'd be lifting our hands a lot more around here if we weren't so self-conscious. And we're more God-conscious. Just pray this. Father, show me the ways that I'm thinking that are preventing your peace from flooding my life. And just stay right there for a moment, okay? Just stay right there for a moment. Father, show me the ways that I'm thinking that are preventing your peace from flooding my life. Show you a decision that needs to be made and how to make it. And congregation, as you ingest the pure milk of the Word of God, the pure air of worship, and come out of the air of things out of the world that's suffocating us with, you're going to reach an altitude where you can breathe the breath and the grace of God. Amen? I declare this over you today, Avalon. Regardless of your situation, I declare this over you today. Regardless of your diagnosis, I declare this already today in the name above every name. A name at which demons tremble. We don't tremble before demons. Demons tremble before the name of Jesus. And we speak peace to the storms in our soul. Day.